Our next case this morning is number 06-3735, Peters against the Village of Clifton. Before we begin oral argument in this case, I note that the court received this morning appellant's motion to take judicial notice of, and that motion will be taken with the case. And we'll hear now from Mr. Bremer.
Good morning, and may it please the court and esteemed guests. I'm David Bremer for appellant Bruce Peters. Your Honors, the ultra vires invasion of Mr. Peters' farm or disposal of raw sewage is not adequately remedied by monetary compensation, nor is it subject to the state's inverse condemnation procedure. And for these reasons, the claim is immediately ripe in federal court under Williamson County. I want to bring the court's attention to the fact that in this case, the defendants have not disputed that inverse condemnation does not apply to ultra vires takings, takings that are beyond the lawful authority of the governmental agency.
And you do have some state remedies as well, don't you? I mean, these folks trespassed on your land and they damaged your land.
There may be trespass remedies in state court, Your Honor, but that is not a procedure for securing just compensation.
I'm not saying it is. So you do have those state remedies, though.
There may be trespass, I'm not sure. But that is, it wouldn't. Even if there was a trespass remedy, that wouldn't be sufficient for or required by Williamson County.
I understand that.
All Williamson County requires is an adequate and available inverse condemnation remedy procedure at the time of the taking. Because of the ultra vires nature of the action here, monetary compensation is not adequate and it's not available.
Let me kind of, it's kind of a related question, Judge Ripples, but my question is there any provision in the Illinois Constitution or in the state laws that prohibit common law recovery from the Village of Clifton? Common law recovery seeking monetary damages.
Of damages?
Right. Yeah. Is there a prohibition?
I don't believe there's a constitutional prohibition, Your Honor, but Williamson County doesn't make a...
Well, there's no statute that prohibits it. There's no Illinois Constitution that prohibits it, right?
What prohibits it is judicial decisions. In Illinois, inverse condemnation is not a statutory procedure. It's a judicial procedure. So it's a creature of the courts, and the courts have applied that procedure so that there is no, it doesn't apply. Inverse condemnation is simply inapplicable when a taking of private property is ultra vires. So if we're going to require property owners to go to the courts to seek just compensation, as this court has held Williamson County applies, then we must also be able to look at what the courts have done with that procedure to determine if the unavailability or inadequacy exception in Williamson County applies.
Well, are you still seeking compensatory damages, or are you only seeking equitable relief now?
The complaint seeks primary equitable relief, yes. That is what is the main issue here, is to try and stop the unlawful disposal of raw sewage across
my... So then, as to the compensatory damages, are you also seeking compensatory damages?
The complaint does seek some compensatory damages, yes,
right.
Your Honor.
It seeks both. So that being the case, why shouldn't you proceed with that claim in the state court first before you would be allowed to come to federal court
because
under the takings claim? You know, because that the takings clause is only violated when the government denies just compensation.
Not always, Your Honor. In many cases, all that is required is monetary compensation, but not when the taking is ultra vires, because in that situation, money doesn't make the property owner whole, and it doesn't legitimize the government's action. And therefore, the property owner can come to this court, to the federal courts, to try and stop the taking. The reason we're not going to state courts is because there's no available remedy. Inverse condemnation simply does not apply to ultra vires actions, and the defendants have not disputed this, although we've raised it time and again. They've not disputed that inverse condemnation does not apply to ultra vires actions, and they've not disputed that the actions complained of here, the invasion of Mr. Peters' property for disposal of sewage, are beyond their powers. So what you have a situation where the state courts and the defendants have basically acknowledged that the monetary taxation procedure in Illinois is not sufficient in this case. And then you have to go to Williamson County.
What actually do you want the federal district court to do in terms of equitable relief? How would the injunction read?
The injunction would halt the defendants from continuing to dispose of sewage across Mr. Peters' land, and it would likely require the removal of what was put in there.
So are you arguing that the land has at this point been taken or that it is in the process of being taken?
It was taken when the invasion occurred. The action was complete at that time. However, it's ongoing. The invasion is ongoing. There's still sewage coming across this property.
That sounds just like a state cause of action to enjoin somebody from hurting your land. What's so exceptional about that?
Well, I don't know if it's exceptional or not, but the federal court has jurisdiction over the claim. Federal takings claims are proper in federal court when there's no adequate or available procedure for securing just compensation. Trespass, any tort remedies, those are not procedures for securing just compensation for the taking of private property.
So you're saying in the state court system, there's no theory upon which you can stop this sewage being put on your client's land. You're saying there's no theory, there's no state law, there's no claim you can file.
Well, I'm not saying that. There very well may be, but what I'm saying is the federal court has jurisdiction.
Shouldn't you have to look at that given what the law is in terms of the takings clause? And I mean, otherwise, any landowner with any problem with a dispute with the county or a government entity can come into federal court, ignore all the state court law, and just say, there could be jurisdictions under the takings clause, and so we want to avail ourselves of federal court.
I respectfully disagree. Most property owners could never get in. This is a unique type of circumstance where you have evasion that is undisputably so far beyond the lawful powers. The cases in this court that have required property owners to go into state court, have been typically loss of property value claims where there is either an available inverse condemnation remedy or they haven't established that it's inadequate. Some of the property owners have tried to say, we can't win on the merits in state court. You should let us come to federal court. But we're not arguing that. What we're arguing is that the inverse condemnation is simply inapplicable from the start. And there's nothing in Williamson County that requires you to try and go to state court and try and make up new remedies when the state courts have said there's not one and defendants have not disputed that takings like this are ultra vires and inverse condemnation doesn't apply to ultra vires actions. So we're not trying to open the door to all property owners coming in. We're trying to – this is a situation where federal courts, the Tenth Circuit, the Federal Circuit, and several others have said that when the action is lawfully unauthorized, you can seek an injunction in federal district court. And that's what we've done here.
It seems to me, though, that at least my own experience or knowledge of inverse condemnation is that it's when the land is not actually taken, but it is devalued, and that there is an impact on it, but because it wasn't taken, you don't have a taking. And in this case, it seems that you described this encroachment, which I'm trying to envision. At one point, it seemed that it was right along the property line, and now it seems it's coming right across the property. And apparently, there was originally tile in there that was strictly for drainage, and now it is either upgraded or misused, either upgraded so that raw sewage flows through it, or abused because they're putting raw sewage through a drainage tile. I don't know which. I'm not clear based on what you said. But this, as both judges have said, I don't know what a landowner does when he sees this coming, but you generally go right after it, and whether it's an injunction or whether it's some other lawsuit against this private developer or what. It seems there's lots of state remedies that would go before you go to this much more, I don't want to call it esoteric, but a taking by inverse condemnation is a kind of a complicated and drawn-out process. It seems to me you want an immediate relief to stop it, and that would go to state court, I would think.
Your Honor, In some cases, inverse condemnation does apply to regulatory takings, but originally inverse condemnation was designed as a procedure to stop physical takings where the government didn't
Took it anyway, you mean?
When the government didn't properly institute eminent domain.
Okay, well, if that's the definition that you're going by, where they took it and didn't tell you they're going to take it, or didn't don't go through the normal procedure of taking.
Correct. They took it for a public purpose, did it unlawfully.
It's a condemnation that they didn't say they were doing.
And they didn't have any they don't have any condemnation powers. They have no eminent domain powers, and that's why inverse condemnation can't apply to them.
They certainly violated some laws here, trespasses that other judges mentioned, or some other encroachment here without, you know, there's certain private property rights that we all have.
That's probably true, but the Supreme Court long ago, 50 years ago, said that a Section 1983 claimant does not have to resort to overlapping state tort remedies before going to federal court on their Section 1983 claim. And it has never made an exception for a takings claim. All it has said in Williamson County is that if you have an adequate compensation remedy and an available one for your just compensation claim, then you have to go to state courts first. But we don't have either of those. The unlawful taking is not remedied by compensation, particularly not by state tort remedies. And secondly, inverse condemnation is unavailable categorically because you have to have a mandate forcing them to institute eminent domain, and they don't have eminent domain powers. And again, they haven't disputed that inverse condemnation does not apply to ultra vires takings or that the actions here would be law on their lawful powers. My time is up.
Thank you, counsel. We'll hear now from Ms. Hackman.
May it please the court, Tamara Hackman on behalf of the defendants appellees. This appeal is about a case that was brought at the wrong place and at the wrong time. And we believe that the district court's ruling should be affirmed for two reasons. First, plaintiff's appeal should begin and end with his argument that the defendant's conduct was ultra vires. The constitutional takings claim is premised on the notion that there was an authorized governmental taking in the first instance. If the action was ultra vires, there was no governmental conduct and no basis for a constitutional claim. And we believe that
what would their claim be then?
Well, it wouldn't be a constitutional claim. I don't know what it would be, but before the court on this appeal is a due process, or excuse me, a Fifth Amendment takings claim. And if they're alleging ultra vires conduct, then I believe that the courts have said that doesn't make a claim for a Fifth Amendment takings. And I think that was stated by the court in First English when it explained the Fifth Amendment and said that it makes clear that it's designed not to limit governmental interference with property rights per se, but rather to secure compensation in the event of an otherwise proper interference amounting to taking.
What was the name of the case that you...
First English. It was First English Evangelical Lutheran versus County of Los Angeles, 482 U.S. 304, 1987.
So let me ask you this. Is there a procedure whereby Mr. Peters can obtain injunctive relief against the Village of Clifton in state court?
Well, I think that it's up to him to tell this court that there is not, and I don't think that
he's
done so.
Well, I'm interested in you telling me whether there is.
I understand, and I think that the courts have held that there is the Illinois Constitution that prohibits the taking of property without just compensation, and that the Illinois Supreme Court has said that that provision is self-executing and gives rise to a common law remedy, and that this court has recognized that there's an inverse condemnation remedy available under that constitutional provision, and it said so in the case of Bittison. There have been other courts that have followed that.
And has Illinois said that? Has Illinois recognized inverse condemnation actions against non-home rule entities like the Village of Clifton?
I don't know whether it's been specific to non-home rule entities, but I know that in the case of Lawless versus Pierce, which is identified in the briefing, that the court said that there's a variety of different remedies. One may be a writ of mandamus, which the plaintiff appellant says is not available to, the Village of Clifton, but it also said that there could be alternatives available under the constitutional provision.
Had this been filed in state court, something like this complaint or similar, would that have been able to go forward in state court?
I think that would be what Williamson says and what this court said in Rockstead is that the plaintiff has an obligation to see what the state court would do, and unless the state court says that it cannot proceed, it's not ripe for a hearing before the federal court.
Well, of course, it probably could make the same constitutional allegations, couldn't it?
It could make, under San Remo, it could make the same constitutional allegation under the Fifth Amendment as well as under the...
And also the state constitution.
Yes.
That's what I'm asking. If this had been filed in state court, would it have been, would something have been done? It's obvious that something has to be done. You know, obviously, I think anybody would share the concern that if this is going on, somebody's got to stop or pay or something. We can't just dodge it because maybe there's something technical here. But it seems there has to be a remedy, and it would seem that in state court there would be, unless there's something unique about it that it cannot be. You seem not to think it's at least it hasn't been challenged sufficiently where it's obviously not available in other courts. Precedent doesn't just completely foreclose what he's doing.
I don't know of any precedent that forecloses, but again, it's up to his burden to bring any precedent before the court.
He's got to run into the dead end in state court before he can come into federal court. Is that it?
That's correct. Under this court's recent holding in Rockstead, I believe that's the law as this court has stated it. And I think that his argument that there is no just compensation because there's alleged ultra-virus conduct is kind of a circuitous argument. The reason that monetary compensation is not available from the government in such a case is because of the ultra-virus nature of the conduct. It's not because the state court doesn't provide an adequate remedy for a governmental taking. So I think it's a circuitous argument that he's making with respect to the ultra-virus argument. But going on to the application of Williamson, even if this court does find that a Fifth Amendment taking has been alleged, he argues that it doesn't apply because injunctive relief is sought. But that misconstrues the Fifth Amendment in that the Fifth Amendment does not prohibit the taking of property. It just prohibits taking without just compensation. And indeed, this court in Patel and in Daniels versus Area Plan indicated that it's not the government's, particularly in Patel, it said it's not the government that's to prohibit the taking, but to ensure that there's just compensation. And in Daniels, that court faced a plaintiff who was seeking only injunctive relief, and that court did not hold, well, just because you're seeking injunctive relief, Williamson doesn't apply. It said Williamson doesn't apply because the state court did not provide for equitable relief. And finally, plaintiff argues that we've failed to show procedures are unavailable or inadequate. Again, it's his burden. And he conceded in the federal district court that state court remedies were available in his objection to the magistrate's opinion. And of course, as this court made clear in Rockstead, we don't have to show that those remedies or processes are sure or certain or developed. In Rockstead itself, the remedies and compensation processes were not sure. And the court said when it's based on common law, you've got to go through the state court system until the state court says no more. Finally, as I've discussed, there isn't a constitutional provision under Illinois that private property shall not be taken or damaged for public use without just compensation. The Illinois Supreme Court in Roe recognized that this was self-executing and forms the basis of common law remedies. Plaintiff's case that he relies on, Rosenthal, doesn't say that there's only one way to do it through eminent domain proceedings, and I don't know of any court that has said that. Finally, we did argue in our appeal brief that most of the points that are being raised by the plaintiff were not raised before the district court. We recognize, of course, that this court has discretion to consider them. We don't believe, however, it would be appropriate in this case to do so because they were not developed at the district court level, and they should not be considered here. If there's any further questions, I'd be happy to.
Evidently not. Thank you, counsel.
Does
Mr. Bremer have any more time? His time had expired. In that case, the case will be submitted with the thanks of the court to both counsel for their fine efforts.